Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sociopath Will Narkins on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, happy Saturday morning.
Woo!
What's going on out there, Will?
Wait, out there?
Yeah, what's going on in the world? I took last week off, so I basically put myself in a cocoon until today. Did I miss anything?
That's it? You didn't leave?
What do you mean?
You just left, and then just came here? You literally haven't been anywhere else since last Saturday?
I've not paid attention to the news, the sports, nothing. I figured I'd just come in out of nowhere, out of left field, and we'd just see where this thing go. Did I miss anything?
Yeah.
What?
NBA's back. It's nice. Literally back. Like, they're playing today.
Man, I'm pumped about that.
Yeah. Like, they're on the court right now. See, you got it on the Golf Channel. You got to change to ESPN because Dame is taking the court right now, and they're playing the Pelicans.
I don't know. They're showing old golf footage right now on the Golf Channel, and it's when they used to wear cardigan sweaters to play golf.
Mm-hmm.
This is old Arnold Palmer footage.
Yeah.
And a bunch of guys in polyester slacks.
Mm.
And then the full-on cardigan. Here's Arnold Palmer about to swing in a cardigan. Maybe we should try to bring that back for golf.
No.
No?
No.
Do you think Harold Bluestein wears a cardigan when he golfs?
He probably wears a cardigan to sleep.
That's a fair point. But yeah, I mean, I think Harold probably dresses just like Arnie is on the TV right now when he plays.
Let me tell you something.
He walked back in. He said he still has the same clothing. That's when I think you achieve old, is when you don't update your wardrobe for like two decades. Would you put on a microphone if you're going to talk to us, Harold? Jeez.
I've got a leisure suit and a cardigan.
Is that where you go to pick up women?
He looks good, doesn't he? Yeah.
All right. All right, old man.
All right.
All right, old man. You have a wonderful weekend.
You too.
Sorry to draw you in.
You know, what I was going to say is, God bless it for Tiger Woods being good at golf.
Yeah?
Because if that didn't happen, this would still be what golf is today.
It's just,
and you probably would not have as many young, excited people about golf.
Sure. Change the game.
I mean, seriously, living in this time now and when you grew up, like, you watch golf back then, and if it continued like this, would you still have the same level of interest? And don't say yes.
Ooh, oh,
come on.
Listen, I enjoy playing the game, and for most sports, that's entirely separate from enjoying watching the game. So I would probably play golf because I enjoy the challenge of it.
Mm.
But I would not watch golf. No, it's just it's entirely different.
Enjoy the challenge of it, huh?
I do, because I'm not that great at it. But with hard work, I've improved.
Okay, I'm going to call BS on that.
You don't think I'm better than I was? Oh.
I think that you saw Tiger Woods, and you probably started golf before Tiger
Woods.
Sure,
yeah.
But I think that seeing Tiger Woods play and getting caught up in Tiger Woods' hysteria, the majors, the jackets, the running his car into a fire hydrant, his wife punching him in the face. It made you want to get better at golf.
There are two things in golf that are unattainable.
What's that? Hot women.
Hitting the golf ball like Tiger Woods,
yeah,
and hitting a golf ball like Happy Gilmore. And God knows everybody of my age or near my age tried to do both, and you can't do either.
That's right. You were the age of Happy Gilmore,
huh? If anything, many a golfer regressed from watching Happy Gilmore and watching Tiger Woods. Those are two things that are entertaining in golf, but do not help you get better at golf. Because Tiger Woods swings like a monster. Because now everybody is hitting the ball 350 yards, and it's fun to watch Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson go out there, and you go, wonder where that ball went, because it just disappears off the screen to the point where Fox pulled out the tracker so you can see where the ball goes in the sky.
The little line.
That's how guys hit the golf ball now. Yeah, because they have not figured out the Happy Gilmore technology where the camera just swoops in behind it, and then you can watch it go down the street and hit the house, knock the guy out of the window.
How the hell did they do that? I always wonder that, how they did the thing of like... He hits the ball and then they like go at some kind. And
it's,
I know how they
drones.
I mean, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Like, I know how they would do it today, but like that was what, a mid 90s movie?
Sure. Yeah.
Like, how did they get that shot where you had the wind tunnel as the sound and then it went back to all the lame looking white people looking out like, oh,
yeah. Yeah. Movie magic. That's the fun of it, is you just don't know.
You know, they should make a sequel to Happy Gilmore.
Absolutely.
And it should be that Happy comes back to help Tiger.
Ooh, I like what you're doing. I was thinking that Happy Gilmore went through a Tiger-esque downslide, and he's trying to make his comeback. And
like Tiger, he was schlepping around town.
Yeah,
constantly.
He was the winningest golfer of all time until his marriage and his infidelity was all torn asunder, and
yeah,
he was.
Ran his Mercedes into a...
Splayed across the tabloids for all to read. I'd watch that.
So
I mean, it'd be terrible, but I'd watch it.
When's that 30 for 30 coming out?
The think? Happy Gilmore 30 for 30?
No, the Tiger Woods.
I'd watch the Happy Gilmore 30 for 30.
Oh.
I don't know. It would be maybe when his playing career is over, because the story's not finished. He's still going. He won a Masters, for crying out loud.
Yeah, that thing's finished. Kind of sad too. He actually should have retired after that Masters, to be quite honest.
It would have been a sweet walk. I'm just like, all right.
I know he's chasing the major title, but like, dude, come on. We are like, you already have a whole generation of people who believe you still are. No, even though you don't have the most majors of anybody, you have a whole generation of millennials and probably Gen Zers now too, who are just like, yeah, Tiger Woods, best golfer of all time.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot of people that do that in basketball and won't even have an argument. And they never watch Jordan play.
Yeah. It's Kevin Durant. Okay. Shut up.
It's Katie.
Katie is my man.
It's neck and neck. Katie or Kyrie. And now that they're on the same team, watch it.
Oh my God. They're going to be so good, especially in Orlando.
Charles Barkley was making the comments. I think we may have even played them on this show or another show that I was on at some point over the last few weeks, because all we talked about was The Last Dance, of course, for the last month and a half.
God, it's great.
But Charles Barkley comments were after that were, there are two athletes that exist in their own stratosphere, and it's Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. He said, there's nobody else that you spend time with that you see the way people react with such insanity around those two guys.
Roger Federer.
He even mentioned Federer. He goes, I've spent time with Federer. Federer is great. He's a great champion. But people do not lose their S like they do when they see Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan, especially at their peak. And again, Barkley was there with those guys when they were at their absolute peak. So I will take his word for it.
But sure, man. I mean, if you trust him more than you trust me,
I'm going to say that I do. Now listen, you would pee a little if you got to meet Roger Federer. There's no question about it.
I would pee happy tears.
Wait, what?
You know what I mean.
That's gross.
You're gross.
So is that all I missed?
Pretty much.
Tiger Woods stuff.
I mean, that's it. Oh, yeah. And I got obsessed with the Netflix show Selling Sunset.
I've never even heard of this show.
Oh, man. It's great.
Yeah?
It's so good. Oh. It is Southern California realtors just smoking hot. Just, oh, God.
Yeah, these dudes.
Very, no, that's season two.
Okay.
It's these women who are just super done up.
Yep.
Like, they've all had plastic surgery. And
I like where you're going.
They all look like they are on the cover of Maxim. And they're selling homes.
Nice.
And they, let me tell you something.
Are they selling homes or selling hope?
No, they're selling homes.
Okay, got you.
And if you think they have good interpersonal relationships with each other, hell, you're wrong.
Really?
It gets really catty really fast. And it's this vicious cycle where, like, I turned it on because basically my wife was like, look, I don't want to watch something besides The Last Dance or 60 Minutes or something boring that you like. And I go, okay, fine. Turn on whatever you want. I don't care. And so she goes on Netflix and she goes, I've seen this and I want to watch it. I go, okay, fine, whatever. She turns on Selling Sunset and it's this vicious cycle of touring these incredible multi-million dollar homes in California. And it kind of gets you drawn in because you're like, oh, this is a sick home. And you're watching. And then they somehow sneak in this little drama that you're like, oh, now I'm kind of interested in that.
What's Claire up to?
Chriselle. There's some woman named Chriselle on there.
It's a good name. We almost went with Chriselle for one of the twins, but we couldn't find a good matching name. Chriselle and Cruella just didn't, we couldn't quite get it.
And then there's this chick called Davina.
I know a Davina.
And Amanza.
I don't know an Amanza, but
I had to pause the Netflix and rewind to just see the lower third that it was actually Amanza.
Yeah, I know a Davina. Good with that. But yeah, I don't know an Amanza.
Amanza.
Well, it sounds really compelling. I'm sure we'll discuss it more in
it's
what
incredible.
To watch.
You got to watch it. And let your kids watch it, too.
Absolutely. We want them to have all of these positive influences in their lives.
Hey, they're real estate agents, man. They're getting in 6-digit commissions, bruh. Like,
nice.
Raking that S in.
Sick, bruh.
But, like, immediately, there was a scene where, like, one of the guys was obviously fake buying a house and just trying to hit on the realtor.
I like that, too.
And I even predicted it, too. I go, how long in this show am I going to watch before I see something like that? Literally the first house they show, it's some skeezy guy trying to pick up on a realtor.
Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Listen, that's Southern California. Can we be honest about it? I lived in Southern California in two different stints. That's Southern California.
So could you just lie to a high-end real estate group and say, like, hey, what up? You know, my net worth is $10 million and I'm looking for a home. And could you go on a private meeting or is there a vetting process?
I don't think I could. I know people that could. I know people from my circle when I lived in LA. I know guys that could pull that off and they would do it quite well. So yeah, I don't know what the vetting process is. I'm guessing that when you smell a 6-figure commission, you'll talk to anybody. Mm. But I'm sure there's some sort of quick analysis, but I doubt there's a full vetting process.
I would imagine they maybe like talk to you on the phone.
Yep.
And they kind of get a feel. And then when they meet you in person, they look at what you're wearing.
Oh,
like
sure.
If you were able to fake
yeah, that's
them
what
out.
I mean, yeah, there's a quick analysis.
Yeah, you'd have to invest a little bit of money in some really nice clothing.
Yep.
Just like one outfit.
Yep. Something from Armani. Roll up in there with, you know, other brands.
I can imagine you in a full Armani suit.
Can you?
This isn't big enough.
Wait, what?
This house isn't big enough.
Oh, yeah, I could totally. I could be part of the ruse. I could not be the ringleader, but trust me, I know people that could. Let's do this. Let's talk about this NBA return that you alluded to. Damian Lillard, he had some ideas earlier in the week that turned into a online, on television, on Twitter spat with Dan Orlovsky.
Of all people.
Which is fantastic. And then we have his thoughts on some of the other proposals. We'll get into the NBA coming back to play basketball. We'll start things there. It is the Sinner and the Saint on 1080, The Fan. Hello, the Fan text line. It's been done. Is it switched over yet? You should probably know this stuff.
Well, what is it?
Is it still 55305 until Monday, or is it already switched?
Oh, come on, man. What's the new text code?
503 503-250-1080. 503-250-1080.
Oh, this is so good.
How convenient. Yeah, you put in a couple other numbers, and you'll have to forget the other one. 503-250-1080 is the new fan text line.
Save us in your contacts.
That's right. And if you want to call us and gripe, you can just, you can hit call.
Now,
if you
want
to text us, you hit text. I know, but they,
Oh, yeah. Call us.
Yeah.
I'll totally pick up.
So on the fan text line, somebody helping us out and says you have to show bank statements for high-end properties to agents prior to viewing anything. Because those can't be faked.
There's also somebody who has alerted me to the fact that that show, actually, there's an entire series of pornographic films based on the concept of that show.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Of people like viewing homes and then having sex.
Yeah, that sounds right. There are a lot of things out there that happen in everyday world that have not been translated to pornography. I mean, pizza delivery, the plumber comes over, seems to be, I've heard a lot of stepbrother, stepsister parents.
DMV.
I don't know what that is. Oh, the actual DMV.
Well, driving, your driving test. You know.
Driving test.
I really got to pass this thing.
Yeah, well, you do. I've got an idea for you, sir.
I'm trying to think of something really mundane that you could turn into that.
Pretty sure they've probably hit it all.
Probably everything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's take all your major sports. Has been turned into some sort of,
like, you're at practice and then something happens,
or the cheerleader and the star player in the gym after, you know,
that's right,
the shoes squeaking on the court.
I was gonna say, what about fishing, but I'm sure stuff's happened on boat.
Yeah, that sounds unappealing. Fishing and hunting seem like something I could probably do without, but
stalking a grocery store shelf,
I'm sure that's been
made into it, right?
Yeah, that's probably a John Waters film too.
503-250-1080. Please let us know, are there situations that have not yet, everyday situations that have not yet been turned into pornographic films?
No, no, no. More importantly, what everyday activity have you searched for in pornography and been unable to find?
I see.
Let's do this accurately. We don't need people doing a new search. What have you gone like, I'd really like to see, well, the library, I was going to say, but we know that's
The library's
happened. Library, office, school settings all exist. But yeah, you were looking for a good fly fishing porn and you couldn't find it.
Yeah, like not a boat.
No, no.
Well, I mean, not like a cruiser boat or like a yacht or something. Yeah. Like just a little dinghy.
What are the fan boats? Or do they have a different
boat? I'm sure that's been done.
Yeah, the fan show. Boat down in.
Oh, yeah, for show, dude. I'm sure that's a whole subgenre.
Yeah, the fan boat turns on all of a sudden. Oh, my clothes are gone.
Check it out. I got this this boat video. Wait, is it a fan boat video? No, just regular boat. I don't want to watch it.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let us know again, 503-250-1080. Damian Lillard.
Yeah.
Before we get into this conversation, I'm going to play this repeatedly, hoping that Dame Dalla hears it.
I am anti-Damian Lillard. Right. I knew this was coming.
As it should. And if anybody was unclear what that was, this was Will Darkin saying that he is.
I am anti-Damian Lillard.
Anti-Damian Lillard. So, Dame. Will wants a piece. Bring it on. Mm-hmm. He thinks that you are spoiled and entitled.
Right. I said that.
This all stems from former NFL quarterback, that term used loosely, and now ESPN analyst Dan Orlovsky criticizing on Thursday Damian Lillard, who told Yahoo Sports that he wouldn't play for the Portland Trail Blazers if they were playing, quote, meaningless regular season games when the NBA returns. So there have been some suggestions that they will come back and play enough regular season games to fulfill the television contracts, but not enough for a team that is 3.5 games out of the 8 seed to actually make the playoffs. So Dame said if they come back and there's no realistic, there's no actual way for them to get into the playoffs, that he would sit out. So before we get any further into the Orlovsky-Dame dispute, what are your thoughts on Dame's response, which was, hey, listen, I'm with my team, I'll be there, but I'm not playing.
All I have to say is that if you have never believed in moral equity before in your life? This is the time. Moral equity is what you build up when you are a nice dude or a nice woman, and in your profession and in your personal life and with everything that you do it with grace, you do it with understanding and empathy, and you make everybody around you feel as though you're an honest, truthful, and genuine person. Damian Lillard, I feel like, for the most part, has done that. He's won the, I think, Magic Johnson Press Award like twice from the media, who say he is a delight to work with. He answers questions. He will vent frustrations, but he doesn't lash out. His teammates absolutely love him. Ownership loves him. The city of Portland loves him. So
the NBA.
The NBA loves him. They've used him as a centerpiece for his philanthropy, for his hip hop. You know, he's just, he is a genuinely great employee of the NBA and just great citizen of the city of Portland.
And the country. I mean, he's nationwide. I mean, Damian Lillard is a bigger star than I think we realize because we're
somewhat.
He's such a big star in Portland.
Yeah, he's a big star in Portland. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't help but wonder what would happen if this situation was flipped and it was Russell Westbrook. I kind of think people would get behind Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah.
And you know what? I kind of would too. I would totally get behind him. I would totally get behind him if it was Kevin Durant. I would totally get behind him if it was
CJ McCollum.
CJ McCollum, maybe. Actually, I wouldn't care enough. I would totally get behind him if it was James Harden. What I'm trying to say here is that I think in sports, this is the moment where following the rules and being a good guy really helps you out a lot. Because for the most part, if you ever encounter anything that is somewhat controversial, your moral equity gets backed up by the public who goes, you know what? He's right. And you know what? I'm not going to totally agree with Damian Lillard in this sense, but he has a point.
Yeah.
Look, if he has no real chance to win an NBA title, and we've all known that he has made it completely vocal, hey, that's the reason I'm here in Portland. I want to win an NBA title. If he feels like he feels like he doesn't have a true shot at it, he's going to sit out. And for me, I go, okay, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
But again, I would probably be saying something very different if it was Russell Westbrook.
Well, this fueled a highly contentious debate among Blazers fans that I know, and people went back and forth. And
really?
Yes, and you can divide.
You had people on both sides.
Oh, you can divide this down the age line. They're Blazers fans of a certain age or sports fans of a certain age, very much on the side of if you're a teammate, you go out and play regardless, and very much the, you know, what kind of example are you setting for the kids type thing, right? And then you have people that go, hey, listen, the fact that Dame has done exactly what you just said, built up enough credits that he can make a decision that maybe you wouldn't make yourself, you give him enough room to breathe. But yeah, I seen people coming after him. Here's what Dan Orlovsky said on Get Up. Are you familiar with Get Up?
Yep.
Do you watch
Backline Orlovsky?
Do you watch Get Up?
I watch it when I used to go to the gym.
Yeah.
And that was really just because it would happen in my line of vision.
Yeah. Well.
So I guess I wasn't watching it.
I was actively trying not to.
Yeah, it just kind of showed up.
Well, Dan Orlovsky was on Get Up! And he said, how can you sit there and go, nope, I'm not going to play, but understand that there's people out there that don't have a choice. They have to go to work. They have to go earn their money. I struggle with sitting here and going, you don't come off in some way a spoiled and entitled brat by saying, I'm not going to play. So this is Dan Orlovsky saying it, and Dame came back at him. He said, entitled and spoiled. This is on Twitter. He said, MF, watch your mouth. My background, family, and character couldn't be further from entitled and spoiled. It's spoiled. I said what I said.
I actually responded to Dame on Twitter.
Oh, did you?
With the,
did you switch my page?
You just are so incompetent. You don't even know how to change pages.
No, I know how to change pages.
I am anti-Damian Lillard.
I just didn't want to go the wrong way. I'd have to cycle all the way back through. So. You responded to Dame on Twitter.
Yeah.
I said,
hell yeah. I am anti-Damian Lillard.
No, I said, hell yeah, dude. And then I used the gif from How High when he goes into the lectern and he starts making fun of the dean. And Method Man's like, get him. And he just keeps hurling insults at him.
Get him. Most of Twitter responded by showing Dan Orlovsky running terrified from Jared Allen unblocked out of the back of the end zone and not realizing it's out of the back of the end zone in one of his, I assume, 12 starts that he had in the NFL in his 11-year career. So a lot of people pointing out Dan Orlovsky did not have a career in the NFL that resembled that Damian Lillard has done so far in what it is.
Well, what's your take on that whole thing? Because, Primetime was kind of saying that, like, it's horse bleep that, people who did not have such an illustrious career cannot have opinions like this without being kind of assailed by the public of being like, well, whatever, you suck professionally. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, but that goes back to when you're a kid. I mean, you say something on the basketball court and you're less than. People are very quick to point that out. That is one of the rules of talking trash is if somebody is not as good as you at anything, you point it out. Mm. People bring up any number of things. You can be in an argument about an Excel spreadsheet and somebody goes, yeah, but you sucked at basketball in high school. And it's like, all right, you got me there. Cool. So can we get back to this pivot table that I'm trying to illustrate for
that's
you?
That's far reaching, though.
But I'm telling you, people,
sports is sports.
No, it is not always sports.
Sports is sports. I'm in favor of people doing this to Dan Orlovsky. I think it's okay. Yeah. I think the fact that you have such an embarrassing past, like, maybe you should be aware of that and then, like, know your ground. You know what I mean? Like, if you had such a kind of hilarious career, and you're going to come out and say things that are this hot takey. Like, dude, you better expect that this is going to come back to you.
Well, and I think David Faraday does this in golf better than anybody. But he always points out, before he says anything about anybody else, he goes, listen, I was terrible. I was not a very good golfer. He's a professional golfer, so he's better than most. Mm. But he's like, listen, I was bad. And here are the things that I will say about this person now. You can be a good analyst without having been a great player. I don't think there's any question about that. But you have to take your lumps when you say something. And Dan Orlovsky came back and he did apologize. He said, no, you're right. I was wrong to use that phrase at the end. That's my bad. My comment started by saying, I hope we all realize nothing is meaningless anymore. And if it's about protecting loved ones 100%, I shouldn't have said entitled or brat at the end of that. That's on me and my bad.
Whatever, dude. Yeah, you got pied in the face, bro.
Yeah, you did.
He got so pied in the face, and that's not going to help anything.
It does not. And then he puts his tail between his legs, and that's when the running out of the back of the end zone memes come out.
He walked his comments back.
But this is also the power of Damian Lillard, and because, like you said, he has such a reputation that he can come out and he can defend himself. He does a very good job, but he does it without trying to be a bully. He didn't go and attack his playing career right away. In some of the response where people said, I've never even heard of Dan Orlovsky, Dame took a few shots. But I think it was fair game at that point. But Damian Lillard has a reputation where that he comes back at you. It puts somebody like Dan Orlovsky a little bit in shiver mode, tail between the legs. Sorry, man. I didn't mean it.
I mean, to be fair, I actually forgot who Dan Orlovsky was.
Sure.
Like, I genuinely forgot. And then I had to watch that clipping and I go, oh, yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
I don't think I watch enough ESPN Dribble to, like, know the cast. I know the basics. I know who Stephen A. is. I knew who Max is and Booger.
Those guys, worse NFL quarterbacks than Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, well, we don't know, though.
No, we do.
Maybe they would have been.
Well, but they weren't. So, therefore, less than.
But we don't know. We
zero
don't know
attempts,
anything.
Zero starts. Oh, you're saying
we don't know anything. In fact, I could have been a better NFL quarterback than Dan Orlovsky. We don't know. I could have been.
Damian Lillard not happy with the idea of going back to the regular season and playing meaningless games, but there is a proposal that he is very happy with, and the NBA sounds like they are close to resuming basketball. We get into that after this SportsCenter update. I'm not happy with Katy Perry. What? She got me twice today. Twice. She gave me the little spooks.
Did you get in her DMs or something?
So there has been a Katy Perry cardboard cutout floating around the station for, I don't know, a couple years, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And she randomly appears in various places around the building. I don't know who the mastermind is.
It's Jeff McGinley.
It is McGinley. At one point, she had a body, and now I think she's just a severed head of Katy Perry. But I think she even predates McGinley. So I don't know if other people are in on the ruse, but right now, the cardboard cutout of Katy Perry, her head is floating over the stall in the hallway bathroom here.
Well, it's not just her head. It's that her eyes are just slightly peeking over.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, not really the whole head. It's like somebody's really leering at you.
Oh, yeah. And it just takes a second when I walk in. I'm like, because the automatic timer's on the lights. So you go in, there's a brief second of darkness, and the lights pop in, and boom! Katy Perry looking over the side of the wall.
I go into the bathroom here. Boom. There she is looking at me.
She got me twice. She's like, welcome to Flavortown.
I haven't gotten it. I haven't gotten it.
You haven't. It hasn't gotten you?
No.
I walk in and I'm like.
That is outrageous. No, it really is.
I mean, it's gotten me.
Yeah.
But not anymore. I kind of expect it now.
Yeah.
Mostly because I've been had like six times.
Okay. Yeah. So today is the first day that I've used that facility since it's been there.
Yeah.
Because last time I saw the severed head of Katy Perry, it was for some reason leering out. There's another bathroom in here with a shower curtain, and her head was somehow leering out of the shower.
Now that's where I do want to see Katy Perry.
That one didn't get me, yeah.
But not in the bathroom.
You want to see her severed head laying on the bottom of a shower?
Hey, what's,
come on, man.
Boo.
Katy Perry is an artist and a entertainer. She does not need to have a severed head.
She's hot.
She is hot.
How old do you think she is?
Ooh, 32.
35.
35. I was going to go 34, and then I went younger. You're welcome, Katie.
So
just figured if she was listening, I didn't want to go too old.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
But you don't. You ever try to guess a woman's age? Like, they make you, and then you go, I don't know, 42, and they're like, 29.
No, just extremely low ball.
Yeah. Oh, you do.
Yeah, 20.
Back in my table waiting days, when you'd have to do the happy birthdays
from
all of us to you.
Yeah.
I would always go extreme in opposite directions. So if it was a person that I assumed was, I don't know, let's say 35 or older, they would always be like 9. All right, we're celebrating Marge's 9th birthday today. And a 60-year-old woman would stand up and everybody would get a chuckle. And then if you had a child, I would always go 85th birthday. So if they looked like they were anywhere near, and then you go those two extremes and nobody gets mad at you because you didn't guess incorrectly, you're clearly just joking around.
Ah!
That's my move.
Happy, happy birthday from all of us to you.
I wish it was a birthday. The wicked booty doo. Clap, clap, clap. Yeah, it's a good tune. And I don't think we get in trouble for singing that one. And that's why all the restaurants do it. That is one that does not, it's a royalty free happy birthday song.
How did the guy that wrote that not hire a lawyer and get that?
I don't know, but if you ever notice why all of your chain restaurants sing that version instead of the traditional happy birthday.
Yeah.
It's not just because it's more upbeat. It's royalty free.
So what, are they worried that like somebody eating is like a copyright attorney?
Well,
be like, huh.
It's very much like Michael Buffer. Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah. You know who
the
he
guy
is.
At the nope, beginning of boxing matches. That's how you describe it on air. The guy at the beginning of boxing matches. That's all you got to say.
He takes his catchphrase very seriously, and he has a team of trademark lawyers that go out and seek out. The happy birthday people were very much the same for a long time because with movies and television, if they caught somebody, they could throw down these big penalties. And then they realized that, Applebee's has a lot of money. Olive Garden has a lot of money. So then some guy came in and said, listen, I don't need any money for this. I just can't afford to pay the fines. And they were probably at Fuddruckers and they threw it together and they said, hey, listen, my fast casual sit down restaurants. Here's a song that I can give to you and you can avoid all of this turmoil.
Happy birthday.
You're writing a new one?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I can't wait for
it. Electric guitar in there.
Hey, it's almost. What day is it?
13 candles.
We're less than a month away from my birthday. I want you to have it ready.
46 candles.
That's pretty good. I like that you get the age in there. All right, work on it.
I lowballed it.
No, no, but I like what you're doing there. You got a good start. Work on it. For my birthday, I expect it to be ready.
It's 47. Wow.
Name is Dan. He's 47. It's his birthday. I'm picking up what you're doing.
Yeah,
I like it. I'm all on board. Well, that segment has been completely wasted.
What were we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about the NBA, but we'll talk about it next day.
Well, didn't we just talk about it? We talked about Dan Orlovsky and Dame.
We talked Dan versus Dame. The Dan-Dame dispute of 2020. 2020.
Damn it.
2020, real quick. Worst year ever?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to go 1929.
All right. 2020?
39, maybe.
2020, working on it.
2020, yeah. 08?
Yeah. Don't forget the Kobe thing.
2001?
I forgot about Kobe. It's 2022, man. It's bad. There's some bad stuff going on.
Yeah, 2016 was also apparently really bad. Because didn't a slew of celebrities die in 2016?
Yeah, there was a slew of celebrities. But the people go in the 2000s.
Yeah.
2020 is the worst year so far. And
well, no, it's not. Because 2020 is in the 2020s.
You're an idiot.
Happy birthday!
Good versus evil is next. Sinner and Saint, 1080 The Fan.
Have you been too busy to keep up on sports this week?
What has happened today? What has happened? What has happened to the national interest?
No time to form your own opinions?
I stand before you here today in the midst of gnarly times.
Well, no worries, brah. Let the Sinner and the Saint shred the gnar while you just sit back and ride the wave. It's time for Good versus Evil, brought to you by the Titan of Hawaiian Restaurants, 808 on 1080 The Fan.
If we can come up with a scenario where we give everybody confidence that the touch points are going to be so few and far between that they don't have to worry about going to an arena where there's a lot of people, and then, you know, in parallel to that, we have more confidence with the vaccine, then we may be able to have more people than we currently expect.
That's a guy whose teeth cost more than your car and my car combined, Mark Cuban. The Mavericks owner has suggested a plan as to how the NBA should return from the coronavirus quarantine. The owner says it's a must that all 30 teams return to play for around 5 to 7 regular season games. From there, the top 10 in each conference make the playoffs, and the bottom 6 playoff teams play a series of play-in games. Players are already aware of the local TV contracts that must be met. Does Cuban's plan sound a little bit more viable to you than maybe anything else you've heard?
I don't know. I just feel like anything is on the table for any of these leagues. The NBA seems to be in unison that they want to get something started soon, which to me is the best sign that something will happen. What it is, I don't know. And I honestly don't really care. I'm kind of like what some of the quotes you've heard from the owners, which is, we're with Adam Silver on this. Whatever he comes up with, we're kind of good with it. Mm. On the other side of things, baseball is a mile apart on everything, and the Players Association is planning on putting back a proposal that they know that the owners will reject, just like the players did with the owner's proposal, and we may not see baseball in 2020. NBA, more progressive than baseball.
Oh, we'll get to that.
There's obviously a pickiness about where he wants to go and where he wants to play, okay? There's got to be, it must be, as far as where he wants to go city and live-wise and where he wants to play. But, man, Jadeveon Clowney on that defense, like you said, opposite of Myles Garrett, they got talented defensive tackles. You know, this is a team on the rise.
That's a guy who threw a fit at J. Crew because they sent him a shirt in extra slim instead of child's extra medium, Chris Sims. ESPN's Adam Schefter reported this week that Jadeveon Clowney walked away from an offer from the Cleveland Browns recently. This isn't the first time the star defensive end has walked away from an offer. Both Seattle, his last team, and Tennessee have tried to sign Clowney to a deal. He has stated that he would like a $20 million a year contract. So would I.
Yeah, me too.
What are the circumstances around Jadeveon Clowney? Are teams undervaluing him? Is he overvaluing himself? Or is there just no market right now for high-priced DNs?
There's definitely a market for high-priced DNs. It's the injury concerns. I think if you look back at Clowney's career and his injuries to start his career, he's been relatively healthy through the middle part of it, but last year, in and out of the lineup with injuries just makes people wary of it. You sign somebody to a long-term contract. In the NFL, you don't have to fulfill the entire contract, but you're still on the hook for some money in the first couple years. So I think they want to see him get through a complete season before they do it. I think Clowney's right on to value himself because when he's in there, he's a menace, and I think teams are correct to be weary. So it's tough when both sides are right to come to an agreement, but I think Clowney ends up probably playing for less money on a one-year contract this year.
This is a Rorschach test. Either you see somebody who is making $8 million to play a game for a few months at a time, or you see a guy who just got asked to take an 80% pay cut. And that distinction is going to be really interesting to see with the fallout here because this, Scott, has galvanized the players.
That was a guy who was originally cast to play Damian, Jeff Passan. The MLB owners have delivered a proposal to the players regarding pay scales in order to start the season sooner rather than, well, later. It would be a graded system in that the more you make, the less you can get on a percentage basis. Conversely, the less you make, the more you get on a percentage basis. Does that make sense to you?
Nope.
The players are completely pissed off about this and suggest this suggestion from the owners. Are they really validated in their anger?
Yeah, I think so. I think the owners are being somewhat insane on the way that they want to refigure everyone's value. The whole point of the contract is this is what you're worth to this team. Now, if you play an abbreviated system and you prorate salaries based on the number of games that they play, why would you have a different scale based on what the players make? The other problem that Major League Baseball has is minor league baseball. Now they have to figure out what they're going to do with their farm systems. You've got people all the way down to single A, and you have to pay them less money because those leagues are going to be affected too. I get that it's a tricky math problem to have, but again, NBA, players, owners, everybody going, we need to figure something out, guys. Major League Baseball's going, you know what? It's not worth it going out there and playing in some convoluted system that nobody quite understands and nobody gets paid what they're worth. I'm getting the feeling we may not see baseball in 2020.
Oh my gosh, really?
They're a million miles apart. The MLB Players Association is intentionally writing a proposal in response to Major League Baseball's proposal that they know they will reject just so they can try to get closer to the middle. That's how far apart they are.
Oh man, I gotta tell you something.
Yeah?
I just got really excited.
1994 all over again.
Great. No baseball.
It's idiotic.
We can quit acting like we actually give an S about it. Time for my favorite story of the week. This one.
Oh, this one.
This one, I got to tell you, somebody's really smiling on me for this one.
Okay, let's hear it.
It comes from New South Wales, Australia. Your headline, men hired for sexual fantasy break into the wrong house.
I like where this is going.
In a sex fantasy gone wrong, two men with machetes entered the wrong house in New South Wales, Australia before, well, quickly realizing they were just wrong.
I was taking a drink of water. I nearly spit it across the room. I did not know machetes would be in this story, but it brings me joy already.
They had been hired to carry out a client's fantasy of being tied up in his underwear and stroked with a broom.
Where do machetes come in?
Well, hang on. The role play was arranged over Facebook by a man near Griffith, New South Wales, who provided his address to the hired pair. Quote, he was willing to pay $5,000 equivalent in Australia if it was, quote unquote, really good. So just like the MLB players, this one was contingent on play.
Sure, of course.
However, the client moved to another address just 30 miles away without updating the two men.
How long was this in the works?
Then they entered the home of the original street of the original address. When the resident noticed a light, the resident of the wrong home, noticed a light on his kitchen at 6:15 in the morning, he assumed, well, hey, it's just a friend to come over and have some coffee in the morning. When the man called out the name of the client, the resident turned on the light and removed a sleep apnea mask he was wearing, only to find two men standing above his bed with machetes.
Is this a Coen Brothers film?
When they realized their error, one of the men said, "Sorry, mate," shook the resident's hand, and walked out.
Blimey. Sorry about that, mate. We'll just get on our way. Clearly a mistake here.
Yeah, it's not really getting into why. I mean, they briefly mentioned that I guess they were just props. The two men then drove to the correct address where the client noticed one man had a great big knife in his trousers and asked them to leave the weapons in their car.
That's
so it sounds like the two men trying to execute this thing went rogue and go, hey, let's take this thing over the top and bring machetes in.
That's not a knife.
This is a knife.
Yikes. Yeah, doesn't this feel very much like something like an outtake from The Big Lebowski?
Kind of.
Yeah.
How frightening is that? You wake up and there's just two dudes with machetes and a broom over you.
I was afraid of Katy Perry looking over the stall in the bathroom. So yeah, that would be an unpleasant way to spend your morning.
I do love how also in Australia, everybody apparently is just so friendly to the point that it's like they're in the wrong house and they just go, oh, sorry, mate. Shake hands and go on our way then. In America, where it's like, what the hell?
Oh, yeah, everybody's getting sued.
And then the dudes with the machetes are like, oh, man, he's going to tell someone. We got to kill him now.
Hey, you're not Dan.
Hey, wait a minute. Right, oh, this is the wrong house.
Yeah, we'll get on our way.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Shake hands.
Don't worry about it. Hey, there's coffee, man. Get yourself a cup.
Does that seem like irresponsible social distancing?
Well, I don't know what Australia's doing. Maybe they got something different going on.
I don't know, but it sounds like Australia has really come across the future of Facebook ahead of the U.S.
I do like how you had mentioned, like, well, how long was this in the works? I mean, probably for a while.
Yeah.
This sounds pretty
intricate, elaborate.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of moving elements. You know, what broom? How long? How many guys?
Yeah.
Are you going to bring a machete?
Are you sure recently? You're
not going to bring a machete?
Have you moved recently?
I said in the comments specifically, no machetes.
Oh, all right. Yeah, it says Katy Perry, machetes, social distancing. This sounds like a Tarantino film.
Yeah,
I don't think it's far up from that either.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, there you have it. Wonderful story. This is your good versus evil. It's brought to you by 808. They are open for to-go and delivery. You can find their menus and hours at ate-oh-ate.com.
Did you read the special instructions? Because I said no machetes.
Listen, mistakes were made. Sometimes in Facebook setup sex fantasies, mistakes can be made.
To me, it sounds like the dudes went rogue.
We'll be better.
And they're like, let's do this.
We'll be better next time. Like they went to the wrong fantasy. All right, we'll get into the NBA reopening, Major League Baseball not reopening, the NFL, college football, everybody trying to figure out how to get back to normal. That's hour two. This is The Sinner and the Saint on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.